Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa! I called the wrong number. Hang up and call back in. I'll call on the other number. I apologize.
There you are.
Yeah, I called in on the wrong number. Call back in and I'll... Sorry about that.
Well, what do you say about this game? We're okay, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's up to you. I apologize. I don't even know why I've done that.
We all right? No, I appreciate let's go ahead and get started. Appreciate everybody listening tonight on Tiger's Barbecue Tailgate Show. We got, it's hard to believe, we've already seen the month of January pass by. Pretty much, we're kind of wrapped up the football season this past weekend, even though we don't do a lot of pro football. We do mainly college, but we kind of follow the sports scene. But kind of everything closed out last night, Daryl. It was kind of a very unexciting, for lack of a better word, Super Bowl, really. Just, not much to it, quite often. Seattle, after that bad snap, it was like it was all downhill for Denver. And, Seattle just looked a step faster. They were better on offense, better on defense, special teams. They just controlled the whole game and obviously deserved to win. And Peyton just had a terrible game. He was just off. And quite honestly, Seattle's defensive line and perfectly timed blitzes just too much for him to handle. So Super Bowl number whatever that was is in the books. And congrats to the Seahawks. Actually, had three Gamecocks on that team. Of course, two guys didn't see the field, one on the reserve, Sidney Rice, but Jean-Pierre actually got in there toward the end of the game, got to play a little center for the Seahawks, and that was kind of neat. So 30 Gamecocks actually ended up with Super Bowl rings for the game last night. So this month not much of a game, quite honestly. Kind of, obviously disappointing to get to the big finale for the season and have that kind of game, but sometimes it happens that way, unfortunately, in sports, and it's just a shame that it had to happen on the, for the Super Bowl. But the Seahawks deserved it. They played great. They were well coached and well prepared. And they just looked like like almost minimum bullies. Quite honestly, which is hard to believe when you're looking at pro football. But that's kind of what it looked like at times last night. And Denver could just never get it going. And every time it looked like they were getting a drive going. I don't know how many tip balls that you look at Peyton Manning, how tall the guy is, and all the tip balls, man, they were just up in his face. So a game that the Broncos certainly want to forget, and the one the Seahawks are running for a long time. So it's that was in the books now, though.
And I tell you now, I was really counting on Peyton winning the game, and I was sitting there. I'll never forget it. And he steps forward to point at the guard, and the ball goes over his head.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, you know. He does that a lot. I mean, he steps forward to either tap one of the guys, based on the butt, quite honestly, and they're going to call out a different play, or, you know, he's going to call out, the guys can call out a different blocking assignment. You know, different linemen, they got different blocking assignments and all, so he's going up there to tell a guy, you know, probably change protection because of something he sees. And honestly, somebody missed something. I don't know if I ever heard or if they ever commented whose mistake it was, but, you know, the ball went sailing. And, I just kind of set the tone. But, you know, the fastest score in Super Bowl history in, you know, whatever, 12 seconds. And, then the second half kickoff, Percy Harvin takes it back all the way. Unbelievable how they started out each half, you know, for the Seahawks. So before you can even blink your eye, in each half, you know, the Seahawks had it scored. So, but that guy, Percy Harvin, was a heck of a player. He had a great career at Florida. Tremendous athlete there, and that was a big plus for Seattle. And he'd been injured there, toward the end of the year. I don't know how many games he was out, but I don't even know if he was ever actually full strength throughout the playoffs. But obviously, he looked like he was full strength to me, you know, for the Super Bowl. So he's a weapon in himself, and when he puts it in that next gear, he's even in the NFL, he's tough to catch. So just like I said, what a game. And we'll put the put football behind us now. We kind of we stepped up into a couple weeks away for kind of barbecue around here, I guess, to start there with the South Carolina Barbecue Association and so forth. Of course, KCBS has had a couple here around the country, but we're going to try to concentrate on SCBA and SBN and, you know, maybe some KCBS and kind of concentrate on South Carolina. We've got a lot of, you know, great things happening in the state, a lot of great events. So, you know, hopefully we can get the word out and just build a following on the show here with some folks around South Carolina and get some contest people to call in and so forth. And we've got JT Handy tonight calling in. JT will be calling in about 7:15, and he is the new I guess what they call Cooker's liaison with the SCBA. Kind of a neat idea, I guess. You know, basically they've got, and we'll find out kind of what exactly that is when JT comes on. But it sounds like a go-between for, you know, maybe some people aren't comfortable going to the judges or don't know who to talk to or who to email at SCBA or whatever it may be. So now there's, you know, somebody on the cooking side that maybe you may see from week to week or see more often and can go and, you know, ask about things or make suggestions or, you know, got a problem or whatever it may be. I'm sure that's what part of it is. And, of course, JT's certainly no stranger to, you know, the barbecue and the South Carolina barbecue and, you know, pretty well-liked guy out there in the barbecue trail in South Carolina. And I'm sure he'll do a great job. And I'm sure everybody looks forward to, you know, to working with him. So he's quite the cook, quite the barbecue guy himself. I don't know all the track history and so forth, quite honestly, but I think he's won several times the Team of the Year or Master Barbecue Award. And quite honestly, not exactly sure what to call it, but I think he's won that a couple times, I believe. And I know he's done some cooking schools and so forth, so we'll find out about that as well. But he's obviously a talented guy, you know, behind the smoker, and should be a good addition, you know, for SCBA to have somebody that, like I said, that can help out these teams and so forth. So, we got a call on the line here. I think this is our man, Lee with Blowing Smoke. I think I recognize it. Let me click on this line here real quick. Is that you, Lee?
Yeah, man. What's going on?
Good, man. Good. Appreciate you calling and listening tonight. We should have JT calling in about 7:15, I think. Exchanged a couple emails with him this morning, so looking forward to talking with him and kind of quite honestly, I think we talked last week. I didn't even know there was actually somebody that did this, and until I had to see it on a message board or maybe on Facebook that, you know, there was a new person. So that was kind of news to me. So that's a good thing or a neat thing, I think. So I'm looking forward to talking to JT and kind of finding out maybe some of the things that maybe going on SCBA wise and maybe some thoughts he may have. And it's funny, one of the things I want to ask him, I happened to look on the schedule today, Lee, and I saw they've already got in April, they've got three contests on the same weekend. And I want to talk to him a little bit about that. That just seems like not a good idea. But, you know, maybe they've got more judges or something. Maybe he can provide some insight on maybe why that happens sometimes. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. I don't remember. I didn't actually look at the all three locations as far as proximity and so forth. But it just seems like three in Tyclone in one weekend is a bet for SCBA. And then, of course, not even knowing what else is going on around the state as well. So,
I thought they weren't going to do that anymore. But I want to step back just a little bit. And so what you're telling me is me telling you there was a liaison was not good enough. You had to see it in writing. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I didn't know there was one. I didn't know that that's what somebody did.
I understand, Chris.
I didn't know there was somebody out there. I mean, I thought that was a good thing. I saw it on the message board, and I thought, oh, that's a neat idea to have somebody out there. So maybe they're going to make it more of a big thing or something, I hope. And I think, actually, speaking of that, I think we've got Mr. JT right here. Let's call and check and see if he's got our man of the hour here. 843-214, are you on the line there?
Hello, Chris. It's JT Handy, JT's Barbecue.
Hey, JT, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, doing good.
Good, I appreciate you calling in. We've got Daryl, Barbecue Superstars. I think he's in the background there. We've also got Lee with Blowing Smoke. He's kind of in the background there. We've been talking with him just a couple of minutes. And appreciate you calling in and joining us tonight. And as I mentioned kind of earlier, we were just, Lee and I was talking, I didn't even know there was a liaison between for a cooking team and between that and the SCBA. When I saw it, I was like, man, that's a good idea. I didn't know I actually had somebody did that, but seems like a neat idea. So kind of excited about having you on, and kind of maybe you can tell us more about it and kind of what it entails, or maybe there's some things that they were not doing in the past that they want to do now, or, you know, I'm just kind of curious to hear all about that. But before you get started with that, I'd like to just tell us a little bit about kind of your background, JT, as far as, you know, how long you've been in the barbecue business and kind of how it's progressed, and then it kind of take us kind of, you know, to current time right now and kind of what you're doing. And then after that, kind of go into some detail, about your new thing, new role with SCBA.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I really appreciate you having me on tonight, and hello to Lee and Daryl and everyone else tuning in. It's an absolute pleasure to speak with you guys tonight. JT's Barbecue, wow, where do you start? I think it's probably around 2000 when my son was born. I was the last few years of my retirement when the police department getting ready to retire, and we had an opportunity to run a food canteen at a major disaster response area, so kind of got the bug for cooking outdoors, and had always barbecued growing up on the islands down here, John's Island, James Island, in the Low Country, and decided to enter one of our local contests, the prestigious Palmetto Pig Picking. And it was at that time, it was a kind of a knockoff of an MIM, now it's MBN type cook-off, and didn't come in last, but like everyone else that you hear talk about how they got started, you definitely get the bug sitting out there all night with all those barbecue pits going and smelling that smoke and cooking the whole hogs, and again, they didn't win, but didn't come in last either. So walked out of there with a passion for it, and just really pursued it kind of wholeheartedly. For the first 2-3 years of bouncing around KCBS, had some success up at Kings Mountain doing some different stuff on MBN. Decided to go become a certified judge, so went down and had a little stint in Florida. My wife took a job transfer down there for a couple of years, so did some FBA, did some KCBS, MBN. And then in 04, when the SCBA started up, maybe 10, 12 contests, I think that was the most, if I remember correctly. And I was just beside myself because living in Somerville, it is a contest, you know, within 2 hours of the house, I was loving it. No more, you know, long-distance travel and stuff, and fell in love with the format. And I was a charter member of the SCBA, and I don't know if there are folks remember, back then they used to do on-site judging. So want to do a couple contests. Yeah, want to got a couple contests with the Bamberg and had some success there. Finished first in a few categories and got run out of the town, you know, with a bunch of locals screaming after you. But yeah, had a good time. So went to culinary school and got a degree after I left the police department. And the whole reason, and I tell this and then nobody believes me, but the whole reason I went to culinary school is because I wanted to do better than anything but. So $45,000 in student loans, I can cook a mean shrimp and grits, you know. And so I just started cooking on the SCBA, and 05 is when they came out with the MBA, the Master Barbecue Award, and they were just adding contests on year after year. And so in 05, really, you know, just cooking every weekend, and a lot like those guys, Cole and Lee, Italia, and Gene, you taught these guys, it's just, you know, to win that, you got to cook every weekend, and you got to be the top of your game. Was able to be the first person to win it, finished right up there the next few years, had a great time cooking. SCBA, kind of rededicated myself to competition barbecue pretty much exclusively with the SCBA because, again, it's just so convenient for me because I can describe, you know, an hour and a half and I'm in Bamberg, I'm in Aiken, I'm in, you know, Walterboro and Columbia, Casey, you name it. And had a great time cooking with them, made a lot of good friends, and just really started focusing on the SCBA. Last year, did pretty good in the spring, won a few contests, but decided that I really needed to know what was going on in the judging tent. I just thought I'd be a better, make a better person, I'd make a better competitor. So I judged the last, I don't know, maybe four, five, six contests in the fall and learned a lot, made a lot more friends on the judging side as well, really got to see what goes on back there and got to work with some event organizers and help them with some events and see what they do. So I think really left 2013 more of a well-rounded competitor. I'm looking forward to 2014. So we're looking forward to doing that. Cooker liaison. Yeah, we've actually had a cooker liaison on the board of directors with the SCBA for a little while now. And basically what that position entails is I'm kind of the eyes and ears of the cookers, and I take their concerns, good, bad, and different to the board meetings. So the judges, because the SCBA is, after all, it's a judging organization. And so they're out there, and they're promoting South Carolina barbecue and doing a great job. But I think they really wanted a feel, and this is why that position was created. And we got Brian Teague. He was there before I was. And it was really created to have a cooker's voice on the board because whenever you know, they're – a lot of times the SCBA works hand-in-hand with event organizers, and I think it was just a great idea to kind of bring in a new perspective and a perspective of the cook teams to say, hey, this is what the cookers have voiced. So I'm looking forward to it. I had a long conversation with the president, Lake High, the other day about his expectations for the position, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, good, man. That sounds great. Talking with Lake, maybe talking with Brian. Are some things that seem to be kind of the common stuff that stands out that seems to be to be addressed, or is it just kind of a smorgasbord, JT, as far as what you think things that may came up or be asked and so forth?
Yeah, you're right, Chris. I've already got a couple calls and some emails from cook teams, and you know, just stuff like that. You know, wanting to know about, you know, receiving copies of the score sheet, wanting to know, you know, voice of concerns on maybe this contest, or you know, how this contest is run versus that contest, and really just wanting to be able to make sure that, you know, and to be honest with you, I've got two or three calls, and only one of them was really a complaint. What do you call a complaint call? Like, I mean, I can't believe they do this. And more of it was like, man, I think this would be a great idea, or this would be a great idea.
Right.
So kind of taking those to the board. You know, so I think it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting out there on the competition. I'm going to be in Port Royal. I don't know if I'm cooking that contest. Right now I'm set to hang out that weekend. With a good friend of mine. I'm going to be down there with Tom at a smokehouse and Michael. I won it last year, so I was happy to win that one because that was a qualifier for the World Food Championship.
Yeah.
And but I think this year I've got so much going on with the catering right now, the first part of the year, and with classes. I do a week-long barbecue vacation, and it's at a resort, and so I've got that on plate. And then I've the weekend coming up, February the The 15th is going to be the Carolina Outdoor Cooking Class, which is put on by Garland Hudgens, BTQ, if you don't mind me giving him a plug. Jeff Smith with Smoker's Dax is going to be down there.
Yeah.
Cheyenne Redford with the Barbecue Pantry. Mark Busby, Smoking Coals, will be there along with Garland. I'll be there teaching the brisket and ribs. It's a great class. I love the setup because you don't have just listen to one instructor or one point of view. You've got, you know, three or four guys that get up there and do theirs. This year we're adding the Barbecue Pantry's spice and stuff lecture to the curriculum. Also, we're doing a new piece on how to start your own barbecue team. So we've got a lot of backyard folks who come
to
that class. So I'm going to be teaching, you know, the ins and outs of starting your own team and everything. So looking forward to getting that class behind us. It's always a great time. It's always a sellout, too. I think he's got a couple spots left. So if you know anybody who wants to go, hit up CarolinaOutdoorCooking.com. But after that, looking forward to starting Port Royal. Again, I'm going to be hanging out with Michael and Palmetto Smokehouse that weekend, and then I'm going to probably hit Bamberg. I think it's going to be my first contest of the year. Looking forward to starting back up.
Okay. Hey, I got a couple questions. I'm kind of curious. Some of these have come up on the show. Some other teams have called in, things we discussed before. So it's not necessarily my opinion. I'm just thinking back from conversations, you know, with folks and so forth. But I know one thing we were just talking about earlier, JC, it seems like in the last couple of years this has happened a couple of times where there was three contests in a weekend, and it seems like, you know, to me, when you got three in a weekend, it just kind of it can water down things. It's not only for the contest, you know, getting the teams there and so forth, but, you know, I don't know what situation in judging and so forth. It put a little strain, you know, having to get judged in three different places. You know, and, of course, I guess another way to look at it is obviously, you know, if they're located, the proximity is, you know, 2 hours or so, whatever, from each other. Maybe they don't hurt each other as much. But I'm just kind of curious, has there been any discussion about that? Or, you know, honestly, I think I've only seen it showing up on the events once right now. So do you talk about that? Is that a concern? Or, I mean, do you try to do things to avoid that? And can you just talk about a little bit of that as far as the scheduling and all, and maybe what the SCBA does, or, you know, as far as getting involved with that or encouraging, you know, these folks to, you know, pick up a weekend and try to stay away from duplications or triplications, for lack of a better word, I guess. So.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. As a matter of fact, there's a time last year where I was talking to an event organizer, just, you know, not as an SCBA representative, but just as a cooker, and talking to them, and they were like, man, I thought I'd have more teams here. And I said, buddy, there's five contests going on this weekend, and only two of them were SCBA. But you had one going up in the upstate as a KCBS. You had another one in Charlotte that was a KCBS, and then you had an MBN event right over the border from us, from where we were cooking at. And it was, I said, you know, you got teams all around, but you got, you know, five contests. I don't know. I look at it from two points, and this is JT talking. This is not, you know, the SCBA talking by any means. This is how I feel. Is that if you got, I know the SCBA is not making $1 billion off contests. So I think what they're doing is they're sticking with their mission statement of just promoting South Carolina barbecue. From what I understand, there's even more contests on tap for this year because the SCBA is just growing and populated by leaps and bounds. From what I understand, there may be 35 to 40 contests this year, and there's only 52 weeks in a year. So you're going to have that overlap. They're going to have that overlap. And right now, I think the SCBA is in a good spot. They're doing their judges twice a year. I've been to the last couple seminars, and they're pulling in 50, 60 judges a seminar. I think what happens, though, is as a cooker, I kind of like to see that, and I'll tell you why. It's because and if you're a dedicated MBA-type cooker, when I say that, I mean the guys who are like, okay, I'm in the MBA chase. I'm going for 12 contests this year. It's all about points, man. It's just like, you know, we're out here on the NASCAR circuit. If you're running Richmond and that weekend Charlotte and you don't run or Daytona and you don't run good down there, and someone says, hey, buddy, I'll give you a chance to run up to Richmond and you run a contest there or run a NASCAR race there and I'm going to run Daytona. And you're like, heck yeah, man, that's my track. You know, so the same thing goes there. If I know Edgefield, I can't lose in Edgefield. I love that contest, man. I go down there and I've cooked it three times and won it three times, and I love Joel Jolly. If Joel Jolly's having a contest there, I'm there. But then maybe somebody who's doing NBA points says, man, I'm going up to Florence for the Big Brother, Big Sister contest there because, you know, I know they've got some hitters here and we've got some hitters. Spread them out a little bit and there's a chance to get some points. That's how I look at it as far as an NBA,
right.
an NBA team. However, I do understand because you know, as a Cook team, you're wanting to make sure that the events are there, that the events are paying good. And that's another thing, too, is I kind of like to be able to go. That's the first thing I do is I go to an event calendar. I write down all the events, and I've got it on mine. I was working it this weekend, and I call them and say, hey, can you send me a package? I want to look at the prize money. I want to look at the categories. I like having that choice. You know, and I have faith in the SCBA that they're going to have qualified marshals. I know all the marshals. You couldn't ask for better people. I know the SCBA is going to provide a good judging environment that's going to be fair. Because I've seen it. I mean, guys, I've been back there. I've sat in the tables. And this isn't the politically correct answer. This is, again, JT telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. I feel like when I go to the SCBA contest, I'm getting a fair shake. So I'm not too worried about it from a Cooker standpoint. I would be more worried about if I was, like you said, an event organizer, someone who's saying, right, you know, hey, you know, because they need the money. And I mean, you know as well as I do, all these events are charities, great charities. I run across a few that may be the kind they kind of just raise money for themselves type thing. But most of them, 9 times out of 10, they're for a great cause. So the only concern I would have would be for, again, the event organizers getting people in. And that might be selfish of me, but I just like the variety, man. I like to say, wow, well, this is $200 entry fee, this is $250, but this guy's got $1,000, but there's multiple categories over here. You know, I know All Smoke Up is going over here. I know Blowing Smoke's probably going over there, and man, I'm going to go here, you know. I don't know. To me, I kind of like it.
I got you. Okay, that's good. Good stuff. That's good. Yeah, I was just wondering, I was just kind of curious as far as from the SCBA side, if those judges to cover, but I guess it sounds like they're there. It probably makes it a little difficult. We got 3 the weekend, but it sounds like they were able to handle it and you know, get the folks out there. So obviously they wouldn't have 3 the weekend. I guess they didn't think they could cover it. So
you're right, though.
It's good to have the choices.
It is, and I think really if you look at it too, a lot of times they'll see a contest. I think they don't want to turn anybody away because, you know, once you put that date out there and you got Cookers committed to it and then something falls through with the contest, which I really haven't seen, but once you block up that date, it's kind of blocked up. But I think they do a good job as far as looking at how it's spread out across the state and taking into consideration the judges and how big the contest is. I don't think you could – I think you'd have to reevaluate it if you were doing something like, say, Pig on the Ridge and you wanted to do, you know, 2 other contests that weekend. Logistically, I don't know, because it takes a lot of judges to judge a big contest like Pig on the Ridge or Ridgeway or something like that. So, you know, but when you're talking 15 teams in Aiken, 15 teams in Greenville, and 12 teams in, you know, Clover or something like that, you know, I think it's a lot more manageable. And plus, you know what, I think what I like to, you know, just now thinking about it, is it gives the judges a chance to go too, because just like in Port Royal's filled now. You know, there's no more judges slots there, and you got a bunch of brand new judges who, and the SCBA does, you and I both know, they do the novice table. So if, you know, the more events, the quicker these judges can get through that novice table process, get out there actually judging. Because once you go through the seminar, you've got four tables you got to sit out on the novice side before you're even, you know, scoring barbecue. So the more contests, the quicker we can get them out there, man, the quicker, I mean, it's going to be it's a win-win for everybody.
Right. Well, yeah, another question. I know you're looking, because more contests and so forth, and obviously you cooked a wide diversity of you know, sanctioned bodies, KCBS, NBN, and so forth. Is it going to be the same this year, JT? In that it seems like there's starting to be more contests that are more than just a single meat. You know, like maybe it's butts and ribs or butts and brisket and chicken, or butts and brisket, or whatever. Are you starting to see more in that? And then also, as far as the points for Cyclone, or as far as the contest, does SCBA kind of dictate still if they're going to have a grand champion? Is it just based on one meet? And then like for the NBA, for the points chase, are they still just based on one meet? Or kind of where's that heading right now, do you think?
Yeah, you know what, and I think that the additional categories are really from the Cookers. I think that that's one of the things that was brought before the board that's kind of been spilled over towards the event organizers, because I've seen contests where it's just butts, but the Cookers are like, man, let's cook some ribs, and they have a rib cook-around, and they'll they bring in some novice judges to judge it on the side. It's no money. It's no part of the contest. It's just simply, man, we just love to cook. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I cook for free. I'm sure you do the same. But that's what it's looking like this year. Is a lot of the one of the things I'm sad to see is that when I first started here in 04 as a charter member, you had 10 contests, 7 were whole hog. And so whole hog's really gone by the way because, again, you got a lot of teams coming and they're cooking on these pits there that can't fit a whole hog. And that's changed. So now it went to all butts. And I think, everybody's like, man, if we're going to be here all night cooking butts, I'd love to have a chance to win some ribs too, you know. And so a lot of the event organizers are listening to the cook teams and saying, yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I mean, there's no skin off their teeth. They put another $25 on the entry fee. You bring your own ribs. I mean, and I think the judges like it because who doesn't like eating ribs? So I think that's a win-win.
Sure.
And that's directly from the cook teams. That's not I've never heard anyone say, hey, the SCBA went out and said, we want ribs now. I really think this is my opinion. It came from the cook teams. So, yeah, a lot of them are doing that. A lot of them now are doing the chicken wings on Friday night. I think there's 4 or 5 contests this year providing the teams with the chicken wings and having a chicken wing throwdown on Friday night. They're a little leery about, providing chicken because I think chicken is one of those things where as an event organizer, you don't want to get anybody sick if you're trying to pass out samples of chicken. And how do you actually pass out a sample other than a chicken wing, which is pretty safe? I think that you're going to see a lot more of that. And I love it because for me, I love to compete, but I want to win some money, and it's not because I want to be rich. I just got to pay for the next contest. If I can win $100, extra or $200 extra on ribs or something, then that's great. The NBN, the Master Barbecue Race is going to be run again, from what I understand, with 12 contests. It'll be your top 12 scores, and what they do is they define their points as what they call the big meat. What's the primary category, if you will? So if a contest is doing whole hog and ribs, it's going to be whole hog. Butts and ribs is going to be, the butts. Because South Carolina being the birthplace of barbecue, and when you talk about barbecue in South Carolina, you're strictly talking about pork. I know some contests have added some brisket in. I'm looking forward to that because I love cooking brisket. The points are going to come off from the main category, which is going to be a pork category, and it will either be whole hog and ribs. It will not be off of a culmination of a grand champion. I know there are a few contests this year that's doing that. I think the Hub Fest up at Spartanburg is doing that this year, where I don't think there's a payout for the individual categories, but I think the grand champion. In that case, they will still take the pork score, even though you didn't win any money off of it. You'll still have a score for pork. And that would be the score that's added to your end of the year total.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. That's good clarification. Yeah. I mean, I think talking on the show here and just kind of remembering back from contests last year. How it is on Friday nights and Saturday mornings, everybody kind of chewing the fat. From the cooker aspect, I don't think there's any doubt that everybody. Yeah, you want to if you can win a little money to offset your trip or for the next contest and so forth. So if you got another category, because as you know, sometimes you just may have a bad cook on your butts, and who knows what happened, what went wrong, or what it was, or And so if you got something else to kind of bring the day back, or whatever, it's brisket, ribs, or whatever it is, it's kind of nice to have something else to do, and it's not like you're getting. Getting overloaded, in case of yes, you got 4 meats. So if you got 2 meats, that's not so bad. Even if it's 3, it's not terrible. But they had that extra thing, and I enjoy the thing on the Friday nights as well. The one thing I've heard from some people are just in conversation and all, and I don't think this is like SCBA, but I guess it's maybe better communication with SCBA to the contest folks. It seems like some problems are running into a little trouble where – getting the stuff to cook for Friday night and then getting the butts at the same time and what that does, I think, to me, is probably the guys that are, whoever it may be, the guys that are you're really true low and slow, and say you don't have a bunch of people on your cooking team, you're trying to get those wings done, for the contest, help them raise money for their, for whatever charity it is, and then you're, by the time you get that done and clean up and so forth, I mean, you still got to, trim up some butts and rub and, inject or whatever you may do, and kind of gets behind the 8 ball. So if you heard anybody really talk about that, JT, or that you see that as a problem sometimes, and I don't think it's, you know, it's all the time, but I think I've seen that happen sometimes, and sometimes it's nobody's fault. Maybe the truck was late, who knows, but I think sometimes it kind of hampers some teams because, you know, you just want to have enough hands out there to get stuff done.
I think,
yeah.
Can I step in here real quick?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Lee.
I think one thing that may need to be brought up, and this is something, JT, you can take back, is I think that the meat should be there kind of more like a KCBS thing, and when the teams arrive, they can get their meat. That way the people that are shorthanded that usually show up early can go ahead and get all this stuff trimmed up before they have to worry about the Friday night stuff. I don't know why we have to wait till after the meeting to get our meat. I think that's one thing that may need to be brought up and, as a concern.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you, and I think that's an excellent point because I cook on a Lang and I cook on a stick burner. I do low and slow, and I'm with you there on it. I think this is what happens, from what I understand, is the SCBA doesn't govern that part. That's up to the event organizer. The SCBA doesn't do anything other than just give them helpful advice whenever they ask for it, and kind of they give them some information how to start the event and run the event. Ultimately, it's up to them. However, I think that I have an idea of I would love to have cook around where some teams come together and we cook some meat and we invite all the event organizers. And it could be in the summer when there's not a lot of events. And it's a pleasant, pleasant experience. And they just listen to some of the cook teams say, just like the stuff you guys are saying, say, man, and it's nothing negative. It's, man, we love cooking your events. Thank you, guys. Welcome. We're going to have a whole hog lunch today. But you know what? We just love to take this opportunity and say, we love your event. But, you know, well, this is kind of the things from our point of view. Because what happens is I think you got folks who may be with a town or a city or some event, you know, organization. Hey, we're going to have a contest. They're not up to speed on all the food safety rules. So what happens is
right. The
first thing they do is they think vicarious liability. They you know, they go and they research, and DHEC puts the fear of God in them and such. And they're so worried about releasing this stuff. You know, and you know, there's no meat inspection in the SCBA, so there's not a big. But I don't see the reason why they can't do that. I think the best thing to do, my advice for a cook team is, if you're a low and slow cooker, is for you to call whenever you're getting your information packet and say, hey, I'm a low and slow cooker. You know, I'd like to get my meat as soon as possible. I will be there with coolers that will adequately keep it cool. I've been cooking for X amount of years. I know what I'm doing. I know some other cook teams like that. The event organizers will work with you. I've never met, with the exception of maybe a couple, event organizers who are just, you know, kind of difficult. And it's usually some bureaucrats with a city or a town that really just doesn't do this. They kind of just, it's probably they're just assigned to them. Their passion is not there. But 9 times out of 10, these guys are passionate about their event and their community, and they'll work with you. But I will definitely take that before the board. You know, I think it's a great idea. I don't see any problems with it. And I would love, again, and maybe Lee and Kristen, you guys can help out with this, but I would love to get the event organizers together one day for a barbecue and just invite them and say, hey, we're not going to chew your ass, I'm going to chew your butt or anything. We just want to tell you what a great job you're doing, and just would like to put some of our ideas out there to make your events more successful. And
sure.
I don't mind helping with anything like that. So, I mean, if you
– Yeah. Yeah. Because I have one event, you know, with these guys, these event organizers, they come up with these entry fees and they come up with these payments and, you know, these payouts. And it's like, you know, I see them wanting to pay out all these places or this or that, and it kind of waters it down. And by the time you pay your entry fee and you win first place, you won $700. And you're like, well, that's great. But, you know, there's still things you can do to attract more teams. The money's got to be there. That's going to be the big thing. You know, and the entry fee and stuff like that. And, again, little things like, hey, when can I get my meat? You know, I can't be trying to get all my butts and get them rubbed and get them injected and stuff and try to cook 40 pounds of chicken wings all by 6 o'clock with a cook's meat at 5, you know. So it's,
yeah.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a good point, JT. And I don't know I don't ever know who's listening in. Hopefully, got a lot of people listening in, and maybe people are just using the computer link. So if you got a question or something, 347-202-0263 if you want to call in and ask JT a question. But, yeah, that's a good stuff there, JT. I think probably going to have to be kind of a, you know, just all the maybe the cooking teams, if you got a contest, maybe everybody, or if that's something that, you know, you'd like to see, if, you know, kind of email the contest people, and if they get some more emails and so forth. And, you know, as you know, some people, you know, are really, some of these contests, do a tremendous job. The all the info you get and the follow up, and I guess because it's more recent, but like the one at Malden, I mean, they were just pounding me, and I don't mean a bad way, I mean a good way. You know, with emails and getting the info to you, and the thing was really organized and kind of did their homework, and I think they even sent out a couple of emails afterwards, or maybe posted on the message board, you know, asking questions and. You know, what were your likes, dislikes, so forth. So, you know, I encourage everybody, is, you know, when they ask, you know, give them some feedback. You know, there's nothing wrong with good feedback. You know, there's nothing wrong with bad feedback. You know, constructive, you know, criticism is what can help things and, you know, get things changed in the right manner. So everybody just needs to, you know, communicate properly, and you know, hopefully that will definitely help out. I kind of heard you mention a couple of times. I think it's pretty obvious that, you know, some of these contests, you know, quite honestly, it's nobody's fault, but some of these people, you know, organizers, they don't have a clue what goes into the, you know, to the process and what these teams are doing. And, you know, obviously the teams, you understand that they're there to, you know, help the contest, help them raise money and so forth. But obviously the team's there to, you know, hopefully win something or get a walk, as we call it, or, you know, win some prize money or, you know, whatever it may be. So some of them don't really know some of the stuff that goes into it probably, and that's probably – some of the things, they don't really understand that, or they don't realize it takes, you know, 10, 12 hours for a guy with a lane, you know, or an offset smoke or whatever to cook a butt. So some of it's probably that they just, you know, quite honestly, just didn't know. They don't realize that. And then there's other places that, you know, have probably been doing the contest longer and they kind of get it and do a better job. But always in and out, you know, with better communication and so forth, I think we can certainly improve that and, you know, and make that better for everyone.
I think, you know, that sorry.
Go ahead, Lee. That's okay. Go ahead, bud.
I think that I like the idea of getting them together and talking to them, and I even think that maybe doing it in a centralized location where we can get more of them together, and, you know, Saluda Shoals would be a great place to do it because, one, you know the guy that runs it, Jim Wellman, and two,
yeah,
he puts on one of the best events of the year for the cooks. So
no doubt.
I think that he would like to be involved, or it would be good to have him involved. We could do it there, and I know he wouldn't charge us. Plus, it's good to get perspective of an event organizer that understands what the cooks need.
Yeah. I hear you, and I think that's a great idea as well. I love Jim Wellman. Couldn't ask for better people. I love that Saluda Shoals event. You know, and again, that was just an idea that I had come up with. You know, to kind of present and you know, just let everybody know the kind of the things I'm working on for the cook teams. Whenever I do get a voice in front of the board and stuff, is one of those things. There is just, you know, let them know. Yeah, and another idea I had to come up with is I love how the SCBA for senior and master, and I believe KCBS does, is they require the judges to go out and cook with the team. And I'm like, you know what? Why can't an event organizer come out and cook with a team? You know. Maybe offer some kind of incentive or something, you know, because I would welcome it for, you know, hey, I got an event going in October, but you know what, I'm an event organizer, I would love to come out and cook with a team in Aiken or in, you know, in Charleston or whatever, and see what you go through. I think that'd be invaluable, you know, for them to see what we do go through, you know, and, you know, who knows, you know, how we can work that out, but, you know, just brainstorming. But I think exactly what you guys are saying is, yeah, the more information that changes hands, the better the event. The better the event is, the better for everybody, for the cook teams,
right,
the SCBA, and the event organizer. And then not only that, but also the town or city that they represent.
That's good stuff. Hey, let me ask you, JT. I know another question I've heard come up at contests or maybe on the show and so forth on the Friday night stuff. I mean, usually there's really good participation. I know the contest really kind of, I don't guess they can necessarily hold your feet to the coals, but they listen, we really want you to participate in this because this is how we raise our money and, you know, more wings cooked or we sell more wristbands or whatever. But, you know, the one thing I hear some people that I think that they'd like to see, and I don't know, maybe there's some of them that do it, I'll be honest with you, I can't remember all of them, but I think the biggest thing that I've heard from folks is, you know, obviously the next day when they announce the winners and so forth on the categories, butts, wrists, whatever it may be, you know, they usually have like a first place in wings or second place or, you know, it may be, you know, maybe they did some kind of anything but or whatever. But it seems like a lot of times you're not able to get your scores. And I think some people would like to somehow, I don't know how they could do that, because maybe sometimes, I don't know if SCBA judges it all the time or is it, You know, I know I've cooked in some quesadillas or some other things when they have some celebrity people sometimes, but I know I've heard that from a lot of people that they like to see the scorn because, you know, sometimes somebody's cooking some wings and maybe they're trying something different and, you know, maybe there's 20 teams and, you know, you heard the first two and maybe you were third and almost won it, or maybe you were last. You know, you're wondering, man, I don't know if those wings stunk or not. I don't know if they're any good, you know. And I've had people kind of curious because sometimes people are kind of experimenting or trying something and so forth, and maybe they the way they did the box or whatever. But if you haven't come up with that, or have you heard, you know, any talk about that as well?
No, I haven't. I think the problem you run into there is that the SCBA doesn't provide the judging on Friday nights. So, anything but is a different scoring system as far as what the event organizer comes up with. I've done some Friday night judging, and I was at one contest, and it was like, okay, how are we going to judge this? And they said, judge it 1 to 10, 1 being bad, 10 being great, you know. And so we went around and judged it like that, and they added up. So there's no – I don't know if there's – as far as I know, I don't know if there's a standardized scoring format for that. I don't think the SCBA is involved in that because just having to provide judges for Friday night as well. And, you know, if you did it and you did it through the SCBA, I mean, it would require more judges. It would require a detailed scoring system, calculators, and, you know, and everything else. And so I don't think that's happening. I think what it is the event organizer. And now they may be saying to the SCBA, hey, could you give us some guidance on how to score, you know, and some numbers to use, that type of thing. But then you also have to keep it simple because you've got, you know, Miss Hellhole Swamp, you know, and you got Miss, you know, so-and-so, Miss Bamberg coming in to judge them, and then you got the TV guys and stuff. So it's more of, you know, if it tastes good to you, it should taste good to everybody else type philosophy that I follow on there. I try not to get too crazy with it. I try to just, you know, when I do my anything, but just to really try to wow my own taste buds. And if I can do that, then that's great for them. As far as the mandatory anything but, I mean, I was always against that because even though I went to culinary school and had a great time and spent a lot of money getting a degree, I cook with a shovel for a living. I'm not a big froofy kind of guy where it's, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not a big anything but guy. I will do it to support to support them. I'll do it if I'm hungry because I want to make sure I got something to eat on Friday night as well. But if you're going to – I've always been a fan. If you're going to make the cook teams do it, then you need to provide something. And I think a lot of the venues are seeing that now, and at least they're providing the chicken wings. You know, it's not a big deal for me to bring some extra pieces of wood and some, you know, some chicken wing rub or something.
Right.
But realistically, I'm not going to kill myself to win the $100, you know. And
right.
That always makes me chuckle when you get the, you know, the package from the event organizer and it says, we have it at Friday night, so-and-so, please bring 200 2-ounce samples to pass out. You're like, in the first place is $75. It's like, what? I'll spend $75 buying 200 2-ounce cups, you know? I mean, you know? So, and that always made me chuckle. So, you know, that's when I break out, you know, and I try to do my best with some potato soup or something like that. But we used to have a contest in Myrtle Beach where anything but was $1,000. And that's where you're really breaking out, you know. I won it one year. I did a miniature steak dinner. I did like this small 6-inch plate, and I did a filet mignon that was no bigger than like a half dollar. And I did caramelized Brussels sprouts. I made a bordelaise sauce, and I did these, you know. And I did like a what do you call the little dolls, the Barbies, like a little Barbie steak dinner on a plate, and it was like an amuse-bouche type thing. And yeah, they loved it, man. It worked great. It just won me $1,000. I haven't been able to replicate it since then. But, of course, if they start paying big money on Friday nights, I think you'd see a lot more in the way of standardized judging and the way of cook teams coming out there. But, you know, it used to be for years and years that anything but was always voluntary, and then anything but was always a couple $300. And it was everybody, you know, the only thing you'd ever find was the chicken ball, catfish stew, and chili, you know. But I like the onset of chicken wings because I think it's a blank canvas, which you can do a lot in. But I will bring that up and ask them so I can get you a better answer as far as is there a 1-2-3 of scoring on Friday night and how can we get some results back to the cook teams?
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, I don't know if it's like a big deal. I'm just kind of thinking out loud some of the questions we've had on the show or just, you know, just like I said, everybody kind of hanging out Friday night, Saturday morning, so forth, kind of, you know, kind of shooting the breeze, so forth, things to come up. But then obviously some things are, you know, certainly doable. Maybe some things aren't, but, you know, obviously the only way to find out is to ask and, you know, see what can be done. So that's the best way to do it. You know, communication goes goes a long way, obviously, to try to make everybody's wanting to make things better. So there's always room for improvement, no matter what. You know, maybe a lot of improvement, maybe a little improvement, but you know, there's usually room for improvement. So you know, as you continue to improve things, and you know, everybody's happy. So.
Yeah, and that's one thing I want to take the opportunity to let your listeners know is that if they see me out at a contest, I've got a folder and I've got a notepad that's strictly for the board of directors when we meet. We also do email chats and stuff like that. So if there's an issue on your mind, a question, anything, I don't represent the FCBA. I represent the cookers to the FCBA, if that makes sense.
Right.
You know, sure. I'm on the board of directors, but my voice and my area of expertise is to relay the cooker's viewpoint, and the only way I can do that is for our cook teams to come up, let me know. I'll write everything down, no matter how off the wall or how, you know, however you want to word it, whatever you want to do. I will take every single thing that you want taken as your representative to the board of directors, and I'll get you an answer. You may not like the answer. You may not understand the answer. It may change something completely. It may be something so great, and everybody's like, wow, why didn't we ever think of that? But I will, as your representative, take it to the board of directors and let them know what you say. I may not even agree with it, but I'll certainly take it there. It won't
sure.
be pushed aside. So I encourage everyone to come up. If I don't know you, I should know everybody, but if I don't know you, come up. Shake my hand. Let me know you know where you're from and all that good stuff. And I look forward to representing you and taking all your information. And again, just like you said, making it grow. I've been cooking SCBA since 2004, and I absolutely love it. I have no problems. Singing their praises. I love cooking SCBA, and I look forward to a great 2014.
Sure, man. Good stuff. Good stuff. Hey, can you provide any insight? Or most of them online, or some of it just don't have enough info yet to really say anything. But I know I saw an email maybe a while back, I think, about, you know, maybe, you know, 8, 10, 12 more contests or whatever. Do you have any insight on that, JT? Or is that some that haven't even been posted yet? Still trying to work out some details. And then also kind of a two-part on that question, that there seems to be some contests out there that don't have a date set yet. They still trying to get something nailed down, or just some things haven't been posted yet. Yeah. Not a bunch of them, but I guess I go in there and look once in a while just to see, and some folks just haven't said it yet. But if you've got any other kind of info about that.
Yeah, I'm actually catching some cross emails and stuff like that. I know the dates are coming in. I think what the process is not on the FCBA side, but it's more on the event organizer side. So
right.
If they had an event one year and it was in April, the FCBA, to kind of give you as much heads up as they can, they go ahead and they post it. It may just say April 2014. You know, I can't pronounce it, but it's a head jazz or he jazz, whatever it is. You know, barbecue cook-off or Hardyville barbecue cook-off. And what happens is they have to actually wait until the event organizer fills out the application. One, pays their fees. Two, you know, has all their ducks in a row to send it in. And on the event organizer side, a lot of them are really kind of sitting back as well, because they may be a town or a city, and they're waiting on an insurance rider to be underwritten for the event. You know, and we all know how fast a lot of these towns and stuff move as far as bureaucracy and paperwork. So they may be waiting on, you know, an underwriter to say, okay, yeah, premium's paid, you can have your event. Because all these events have to carry liability insurance, and there's all kind of stuff, you know, behind the scenes that we may not always think about. So a lot of times,
sure.
event organizers are just like us. They're pacing back and forth going, come on, guys, you know, I it's first come, first serve on these dates. I got to get my stuff in there, and, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, and then a lot of them, they carry policies for rain. You know, I heard one event organizer tell me, he said, if it pour down rain right now, a good event is going to already have its money made before the doors even open, through sponsorships, through hazardous weather insurance, through, you know, it's not one of these things where if you're walking around, all of a sudden it's a rain out, nobody shows up, you're like, oh, we just lost our butts. You really need to plan ahead, and a lot of times there's a lot of planning that goes into that behind the scenes. So once all that's done and then they submit their dates to them, to the SCBA, then they get Greg Gladney, who runs that part, that runs the website, he posts them just as soon as he gets them. So it's just a matter of them actually getting it, and then they'll post them right up, and then everything should be smooth sailing from there.
Okay. Good deal. Yeah, that's exciting with some new potential venues and all. I know that obviously people have favorite places they like to go to, and you know, kind of tradition going back to the same place, maybe getting in your same spot or chance over the same people, whatever it may be. But then again, on the other side of the fence, it's nice to or neat to go to new places, different places, and cooking new contests and maybe a place you've never been to or something. So yeah, that's good stuff. Obviously the SCBA has really been growing, and very passionate about how they approach things, and trying to be fair with things, and so forth. So I think to me one of the neatest things about the whole process is that every SCBA event wherever they're at, it benefits benefits some type of charity. I mean, we got Boy Scouts, we got some type of cancer, we got Alzheimer's. The hospice, it's amazing. All things A to Z that these contests are able to types of people or families or organizations or whatever, man. It's amazing all the things that these events are able to touch. And I saw an article a while back, or I don't know where it was at. It might have been about a year ago, but I was amazed with some of the bigger contests, the ones that really put a lot into it. I mean, I was amazed the amount of money they were able to raise on those things. It was incredible on these events. And, some of them in some smaller towns, I was like, wow, man, we're talking tens of thousands of dollars some of these folks are raising. And that was obviously over and above whatever was paid out and buying the bets and everything. So, man, it's phenomenal, what can be done by, having a good time, having some good fellowship, and then, most of all, being able to benefit, some type of charitable organization.
You couldn't have said it better. And that's what I always tell myself, because my wife always tells me I'm a sore loser, and I am. I hate to lose, and that's just me. I'll tell you a funny story. One time I was cooking with my son, and this was several years ago now. I hope that I've kind of grown up since then. But we won sixth place, and they called us up on stage and gave us a sixth place trophy. And you know how it is. You know your product is there. My product was there. I was like, man, it's got to be top three. I would come in sixth place. Trophy, no check. Rained all weekend. It was just a pain, so I'm in a bad mood. So driving home, and I'm just grumpy. And my son, he's 15, he doesn't say anything. So we get over to my storage lot where I keep my cookers, and I had a 30-foot trailer. And I back it in there, and I said, here, son, you keep this trophy. And I never forget, he looked at me and said, Dad, what the hell am I going to do with a sixth-place trophy? I said, you're right, son, we trunk it in the woods, And my wife said, that's a horrible, horrible story. And I said, well, I don't like to lose, and I don't know any man competitively that does, but I always take solace in the fact that if I do lose, suck it up, get over it, and just know that every dime I paid went towards, just like you said, a good cause. I mean, when you help a hospice organization, we used to do a contest, I think it was Ellery that paid for the Christmas lights to decorate the town on the light poles. I mean, just little things like that.
Wow.
And to see the band's Brews and Barbecue, all the stuff they do down there and how they give back, and they had a big write-up, and there's a cookbook out now, and there you see them presenting checks and stuff. And so now I think I've gotten a little older. I look back on it, just like you said, and said, hey, if I did lose, man, at least someone benefited from it. And I just ask the Lord that it be blessed even more, and that and that I learn from it, and that the organization grows, and that every dime that I spent, getting my butt beat by Lee Morris and Gene Culberson and all those guys, that they went home with a check, but at least I went home knowing I helped someone. That's one of the good things,
The best thing could be if somebody says, I tell you all the time, I got six places, so-and-so trip, or somebody found that thing in the woods and has been talking about when they got six places.
They probably did, I don't even keep trophies anymore, man. I had a trophy collection. You know how you accumulate these things, And so we give them to the schools here locally, and the school district takes the barbecue pig off of it and scrapes the nameplate off, and they make little trophies, and they handed them out at Special Olympics at the little baseball field for the younger kids and stuff. So we donate them all back to the artists. I keep the nice ones, like the Edgefield pottery and some stuff like that. I definitely keep.
Yeah.
Or anything that's handmade. Like I know now a lot of the organizers are doing some really neat trophies where they're handmade. I know Kershaw did one last year. It's really cool that I got, a welder made. Bamberg does a really nice trophy, if you've ever seen those.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think two men and a small boy.
I went to the Winter there last year. Yeah, that's
cool. I remember
that.
Yeah. That's a big trophy.
That's probably my favorite one is Banbury that we've ever won. That thing with the – I think they actually told me it was a piece of wood or whatever came out of some old house or something. The guy bought and refinished and, you know, and they got the palmetto trees on there and the pig, you know, and the welder or whatever. Those are cool like that. You know, like you said, you kind of like getting those what I call different ones or the ones that stand out and so forth.
Yeah, the unique They're making the wooden guitars now for the Port Royal contest. I believe the Teddy's doing that. Yeah, I was lucky enough to get two of those last year. I got them sitting on my little trophy case of them in the house because my wife didn't let a lot of barbecue stuff come in the house. I got a shop that belongs to me, and all my stuff stays out there. But she does let the Edgefield pottery trophies come in. Edgefield, I never knew it, but they're big into pottery down there. I guess it goes back many, many, many years, hundreds of years. So I got some cool Edgefield trophies in there. Of course, my NBA trophies. You know, and anything that's handmade looks nice, then the wife lets in the house. But, you know, if it's a regular standard plastic trophy, and then we put it in the collection, and we'll send it out to the kids and stuff, and just try to, like Myron Mixon said, you know, we don't do anything but get the check, you know. We'll go get the check.
That's right. We'll collect the check, man.
That's right.
Well, man, I appreciate you calling in, JT. It's been some great stuff tonight. We've hit our hour here, but don't be a stranger. Hopefully you'll listen in or call in from time to time, certainly as we get into more contests. And just kind of let you know, as I probably maybe mentioned in the email or you might have seen, you know, I love the barbecue, love the SCBA, and we cook a little KCBS and probably do some SBN this year as well. But we're really going to try to concentrate both as far as with the show here on SCBA and I'm going to try to do my best, the week of the contest, you know, try to get a hold of the contest person and have them on, let them talk about it, maybe promote it. We don't never really know who all is listening, but maybe they can post it to their Facebook page and people will listen in, and, you know, it's free advertising for them. So we're going to try to, you know, really help these contests and help them kind of promote things. And again, hopefully we'll get some more cookers calling in and make suggestions, talking about contests, you know, hammering up, have a little fun as well. That's what it's all about. So we're going to – looking forward to these next certainly 3-4 months as we get into the early spring here and early summer of this contest. So don't be a stranger. And like I said, we're gonna really do hopefully help promote this and, kind of help just help everybody grow and help everything improve. But we appreciate you coming on, and I know you're doing a great job and obviously an outstanding cook and barbecue yourself, and look forward to seeing you out there and competing against you as well. And just want to thank you again, man, for being on the show tonight.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. Make a pledge to you as well. I'll call into the show as soon as I get any answers from questions that I already have or as new information comes out, to get it out to the cook teams and let them know. So I'll be glad to call in as soon as I get new information that comes, you know, across my desk from the SCBA from the cooker's perspective. And thanks so much for having me on, Lee. It's always good to talk to you if you're still on there, and Daryl as well. And look forward to seeing everybody out on the trail.
Thank you, JT. Appreciate it, man. And Lee, appreciate you calling in tonight and sticking on the line with us and listening in and adding some good input as well,
Chris,
man. Yes, sir.
If you look under you for Ultimate Tailgaters, I got a Go Cox down there. The other thing is Ultimate Go Cox is what it's under. Chris, with these new contests, you might be able to get your 12.
Yeah, that's what I like. You know, obviously for me, it's the name of the our show here, the tailgate. Everybody knows we're passionate about our tailgating, so we'll watch the football game. And unfortunately, as we know, in the fall, it is a great time to cook. And if it's a night game and I can get in proximity, I'll go cook one. So, yeah, man, I like that. That's why I was kind of asking JT. I was curious on some of these upcoming contests, maybe some new ones. I'm hoping that the dates will hit right and we can add a couple more and get our 12 in. Or, you know, I actually want to, like most of my out there, I might be getting in 13 or 14 so I can drop a couple scores because I'm going to have, like everybody, or maybe not like everybody, I'm going to have a bad cook here and there. So, I'd like to be able to toss that one if I can. So
it ain't going to help him. It's not going to help him to get 12 unless the main meat is ribs.
Yeah, you're right about that. I don't need 12 contests. I need 12 rip contests is what I need.
Hey, what's the NBR? I heard somebody say something about NBR, National Barbecue Race.
I think what he was saying was NBA, which is the Master Barbecue Award. I think what he meant. Is that not correct, Lee?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about. He was talking about
I think that's what he meant there. He was talking about NBA. Because, he's talking about NBA and all the contests. And then, because I was having to think, okay, I know now. I think he was saying NBA, which is the Master Barbecue Award. I guess that's what they call the person who wins the porch race, per se, I guess. And, South Carolina, which was up in, all smoked up. Last year with Cole and those guys did a great job. That's good stuff from JT. He's a neat guy, and I know he'll do a good job with that. And, it's just like anything in life. You got proper communication will help improve things. So hopefully, this will be something to build on, and all you folks out there hopefully listening, give him a call or shoot him an email and, give him some input, and hopefully we'll continue to grow this thing and continue to build. So, but hey, I appreciate everybody listening tonight, and I appreciate Lee and Daryl joining us as well, as always. So I got to find a little link down here. I think I got the right one there, Mr. Daryl. But we're going to close it out, and guess what? Go Cox. Here we go.